You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Fulham Fan Show. We're joined, obviously, by Fulhamish podcast. Don Betts joins me, Kieran Critchard, for the next hour between 9 and 10pm. We'll be looking back at a few different games, wins against Swansea and Preston, which keeps Fulham in a decent position. Can they push for a top two spot? We'll also look ahead to some pretty significant games. It's an important run of games for Fulham, away at Bristol City, at home against Brentford, and then away at Leeds. So some pretty big games coming up. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us over the next hour, call us on 0208 7020 558, or you can WhatsApp us on that very same number here on the Fulham Fan Show. Obviously, this is on Love Sport. London is the Fulham Fan Show. If you're a fan of Bristol City or Stoke, you can go to Love Sport National if you want to listen to those. Bristol City between 9 and 9.30 and then Stoke between 9.30 and 10. But here on Love Sport London is the Fulham Fan Show with the Fulhamish podcast. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined on this Wednesday evening by Don Betts. Good evening, Mr. Betts.
Good evening, Mr. Critchard. How are we?
I'm very, very good. I'm sure as a Fulham fan, things are quite nice at the moment. We're going to review first and foremost a couple of games, obviously, since the last podcast. A 1-0 win at home against Swansea, then a 2-0 win at home against Preston. Should we start with some three-word reviews?
Yeah, let's start with three-word reviews. Let's start with Swansea. I took these ones from Twitter. We had Dean Jones with Fulham heading up. Obviously, Mitrovic getting that late, late winner. We had Thomas coming in with Huddersfield drama reloaded. It was very similar to that infamous Huddersfield 1-0 victory in the Premier League season where, you know, there was a whole penalty debacle with Mitrovic and Abubakar Kamara. Wasn't quite the debacle penalty-wise. Obviously, there was the missed penalty. And then we got a last-minute winner through Alexander Mitrovic. And then the last one would be from Lao Tome with Lars Ditrovic. That last minute winner.
So let's start off in chronological order with the Swansea win, which was this time at last week, 1-0 at home. What did you make of that game? Fulham tends to be quite free scoring, only the one goal, but were you actually in some ways more satisfied with this win because it meant keeping a clean sheet?
Yeah, we a few fans spoke about this, that sometimes these late scrappy 1-0 wins are actually a lot more satisfying than when you batter a team 5-0 or beat a team 5-1. It just feels, you know, just so much more sort of tenseness to the game. But I think, you know, what was interesting about this was that we looked comfortable, but we didn't at the same time. Like we were dominating the game, really, but you always felt Swansea were going to get back into it. You know, we'll get onto the point now. You know, finally with the Preston game, as we'll get onto, was the first time we've actually won a game by more than one goal since about November, I think. But, yeah, Mitrovic missing a penalty. I don't think many people would have predicted that. But, I mean, the idea of a penalty is probably the biggest talk from this game. You know, Swansea fans absolutely fuming with the officiating, understandably. I thought Swansea deserved at least one penalty out of their three shouts. And I think if VAR was in the championship, Swansea probably could have won 3-0.
don't say VAR on the championship.
Yeah, but it's the last thing that anyone wants. But yeah, what I like to see was obviously the assist from Abubakar Kamara for Mitrovic. I think Abubakar Kamara, he gets a lot of stick from the fans, obviously stemming back to that incident in the Huddersfield game in the Premier League. But I think he's got 4 goals and 4 assists now. And, you know, for a player who's probably played played a part in maybe half our games, two-thirds at a push. You know, that's very, very good on him. You know, he's probably after Kearney and Caviero and Mitrovic, obviously, our most sort of player in sort of involved in goal scoring opportunities and goals in general. So, yeah, it was a great win to get, and it was one of those wins that are needed. And I think the important thing about these two wins specifically is that we're pushing our way from the chasing pack of, you know, 4th, 5th and 6th. I think we're 3 and 6 points ahead of, you know, Brentford and Nottingham Forest in 4th and 5th. So that's the important thing. I think these two wins have guaranteed playoff positions pretty much. I think it would take a massive collapse for us to end up finishing in 7th place because, you know, Bristol City aren't in the greatest form. Preston have lost 2 on the bounce. But, yeah, going back to the Swansea game, I think for us, again, it was just one of those games where it's just all about getting the 3 points.
Obviously, that's now the double that Fulham have done over Swansea. And I remember that away game because, if I remember rightly, Swansea had countless chances in that game. And the biggest difference was kind of the clinical nature of one side compared to the other. On this occasion, obviously not as many goals. There's only 1 compared to 3 on that occasion. What was the difference? Someone like Alexander Mitrovic, who is one of, if not, the best players in the championship, was he again proving to be the difference?
Yeah, because, you know, what the thing is with Mitrovic, he just needs that one chance and he's most likely going to score it. Yes, obviously he missed a penalty, but, you know, in that Swansea away game specifically, you know, the infamous Onuma assist where he just completely misses the ball and it ends up at Mitrovic's feet, which he puts in the back of the net. I remember Rodak making a load of good saves in that Swansea away game on the Friday night. So, yeah, I think this game was a bit different. I think Swansea weren't as, you know, attacking. They weren't on as great form. I think when we played them, I think it was the end of November, that away game. And, you know, they were high up in the table. They were very close to us. And that was, I think that game was the start of when we thought that automatic promotion was on. Because it was a bad run of form sort of in October and November where we thought, it's probably only playoffs this season. But I think that's when we realised, no, we're onto this. And that's what was sort of near the start of Leeds' sort of semi-blip between, you know, December and January. So, yeah, I think it was just vital getting 3 points in this game. And it's also those 1-0 wins, those late 1-0 wins or the late 2-1 wins are always so much more satisfying than when you completely play a team off the park.
So obviously Fulham beating Swansea. We can now hear from the Swansea Fan Show here on Love Sport, their guest Stephen Carroll from the Jackcast. And he said that he was surprised the ref didn't join in with the celebrations for the Fulham goals.
But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we all have to accept that referees are human. They will make mistakes sometimes, and I don't really like to blame them too much. But in this game, it's quite clear that he's had a very big impact on it, and he's had a shocker. There's no two ways about it. I mean, as Ryan has said, the handball, with the way that the game is these days, probably is a penalty. The Andre Ayew one in the second half is definitely a penalty. And then the one that Fulham were given is not a penalty, and he's given it. Quite frankly, I'm surprised the referee didn't join in with the celebrations when the winner went in, because he was that bad. And if you look at it, I think earlier this season, when they played Leeds Fulham, they had a very dodgy penalty. And when this referee has refereed Fulham, they've won 9 games and they've drawn 2 and they've never lost. It's a little bit suspect, isn't it? Let's be honest about it, especially when you see how bad the decisions were in the game that we played against them. So, yeah, I think we're absolutely right to take it higher on this occasion because it was shocking. And with the previous that this referee has, it is suspicious.
Pretty strong words there from Stephen Carroll from the Jackcast. Mentioning there about Fulham's record under this referee, is that just kind of sour grapes to an extent from Swansea fans that, as a result of defeat, you're going to get quite emotional about it, and one thing you point to is the referee? Or do you think, in particular, in just specifically this game, do you think he has a massive point to be massively irritated at some of the decisions?
Oh, no, they do. The referee was atrocious. But, like, if it's not going to affect my team, I'm not too bothered by it, to be perfectly frank. And, yeah, and obviously he was referee in that Leeds home game where we got a dodgy penalty where... That was the weird thing, going back to that Leeds game, about that penalty, because I think someone crosses the ball across, and we assumed in the Goalmouth scramble it hit someone's arm, but it was actually for someone, I think, pushing Josh Onuma down, which then Mitrovic then buried into the bottom corner. But, yeah, but you say, oh, he's Fulham have won 9 and drawn 2. That's because we're third in the table, so we often win and draw a lot of games as opposed to losing them. So the refereeing was bad, but I don't think it's like this referee loves Fulham or anything like that.
Moving on then from the Swansea win, Fulham then backed it up with another, something that they've struggled to do of late. They haven't won many games of late, but it is back-to-back wins. 2-0 at home against Preston, who are currently 6th in the race for not really an automatic promotion spot, but a playoff position. Goals from, well, David Nugent just in the wrong net, and then Abubakar Kamara very, very late on, I think, 95th minute, if I'm right in
saying.
Yeah,
right last kick of the game, pretty much.
What did we learn about Fulham from that game? Because Preston are a good side, perhaps better at Deepdale than they have been on the road, but they're still a side chasing top six. How much can we learn? How much can we read into a game like that from Fulham?
Well, I said going into the game that this has got a David Nugent goal written all over it. And I mean,
you were right, one way.
Well, to be fair, he scored in... It seems every time we play a team that involves David Nugent, he's always going to score. I feel like he did it for Derby when we lost 4-2 or 4-1 this season, where we lost in the playoff semi-finals. He obviously scored in the reverse fixture. We ended up losing, and that was obviously a diabolical game. But yeah, the game was sort of quite... not stale as such in the first half, but it was quite sort of turgid. There wasn't too many chances in that first half. And then, you know, beginning in the second half, David Nugent sort of flicks it over himself. I don't really know what he's trying to do, but he sort of flicks it over himself.
I think with every own goal, you don't really know what they're trying to do.
But it's not like it's just hit him and it's gone. He's purposely flicked it on, but I think he's trying to flick it on across the box, but it just sort of floats into the far top corner past the Preston goalkeeper, and that put us into the ascendancy. I'd probably say deservedly so. You know, Preston had a chance early on in the first half, what was disallowed, and Rodak make a good save, but that's all I really remember from them. Again, yeah, it was just getting the result. And as I said, it's actually the first time we've won a game by more than one goal since, I think, the end of November. I think it was maybe the 25th or 26th when we beat Derby 3-0 at home, which was one of the most convincing performances of the season. The most intriguing thing that happened was obviously Joe Bryan going off injured, and then Sars Christie obviously came on for him, and he ended up getting man of the match. And, you know, I don't really read too much into statistics. I think it's a load of rubbish most of the time, especially when it comes to, like, expected goals. But when you looked at our expected goals and, like, the players for Fulham who were highest when it came to expected goals, the highest, like, most likely player to score was Sars Christie with, like, 0.6 or something, because I think he had, like, 3 shots on goal during the game. But, yeah, Sars Christie came on and played really, really well. And I've said it before, and I've said it again, like, Joe Bryan, as much as he has this connection with Mitrovic of getting, like, I think 6 or 7 assists maybe, defensively he's all over the place at times. And I think this injury could be a blessing in disguise, because I think it might make our defence more balanced. You know, I think it was a hamstring injury. So, you know, with Joe Bryan out, I'd play Dennis Adore on the left-hand side, who I think's arguably been maybe not our best defender, because obviously we've had Michael Hector, but probably our most consistent defender this season. Then you have Cyrus Christie on the right-hand side. I genuinely think it could be a blessing in disguise. Yes, he has this good connection with Mitrovic and Bobby Reid, but I actually think it will actually make us a more balanced side.
As a result of this win, then, for Fulham against Preston, it consolidates their position in third. I think, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, they're 9 points ahead of Bristol City in seventh, barring an absolute terrible collapse in Fulham. They are going to finish top six, but surely looking up, 5 points behind Leeds in second, only 6 points off the top. Realistically, we now are at the final 10 game stage. Are you thinking this is a genuine possibility that Leeds, we all know they are on a good run at the moment, but we know what they're capable of doing in terms of a negative way? Or are you thinking Fulham are probably going to have to settle for a playoff spot, and it's about kind of making sure they have momentum going into that, even if it doesn't mean a top two spot?
I think playoffs is guaranteed. I think you still got to be looking for top two. You know that win for Wigan at West Brom, I think now 3 of their last 4 away wins have come at Leeds, West Brom and Leeds, or something crazy like that. I think you have to be looking at top two, because we've still got to play West Brom and we've still got to play Leeds at both their grounds. We've got to go away to Nottingham Forest. And we looked at this Preston game, it was one of the top 7. I think we had to play 6 of the top 7 in our last 11 games. And that's one down with one win. And if you remember the season we went up, we had a run of fixtures similar to this in, like, February, March time, where we played, like, at 6 of the top 8, and we stayed unbeaten and we won, I think, 6 out of the 8 games. So, if anything, these games against the bigger opponents where they are going to come onto us suit us better. And I think this is what we're going to tell. This is what could end up getting Fulham in the top two, is actually because we're playing all the big teams.
It's sure to be an exciting run into the end of the season. Fulham still chasing a top two spot. Fulham fans out there, are you going to get top two, or are you going to have to settle for a place in the playoffs? Call us on 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that very same number to share your views, and we'll read them out and talk about them here. Obviously, we'll be looking ahead to the games coming up over the next few weeks. Some crucial ones for Fulham: Bristol City, Brentford and Leeds to come over the next few weeks. We'll be getting the opposition view later in the hour ahead of that away trip to Bristol City, and also hearing some questions from you, the listeners.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
Welcome back to the Fulham Fan Show with myself, Kieran Critchard, and Don Betts from the Fulhamish podcast. Fulham fans out there, if you want to share your views, make sure you do. Call us on 0208 7020 558. You can get us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. You can also WhatsApp us, so make sure you share your views. Any questions you have for Dom here in the studio, make sure you get in touch with us. We're obviously looking ahead to what is sure to be a pretty exhilarating run, and we've got 10 games to go, exactly 10 games to come, 36 gone and 10 more remaining. As it stands at the top, just painting a little bit of a picture, West Brom atop on 69 points, lost against Wigan last weekend, which is a big, big shock at home. They've had a real renaissance, Wigan. Leeds United in second on 68 points, and then Fulham come in on 63, looking comfortable with a top six spot. Let's look at the top two before we come back to Fulham's remaining fixtures. West Brom are top. And I remember start of the season, Dom, you made it clear what your views were. You felt that Bilic was probably the best manager in the league. West Brom had the best squad. They were definitely going to go up. They started the season brilliantly, and it looked like your prediction was going to be spot on. Then they had a patch that every single team has had where they look shaky, and that gap suddenly came massively down. They've managed to put that gap back again, but a defeat to Wigan, is that showing a bit of pressure is building on West Brom, or do you think that's just one of those where it was a shocker day and you can't read much into just one game out of 36?
Well, they had sort of had a resurgence over the last month or so. I think they had a three-game winning streak on the bounce, and yeah, it was a very, very surprising result. And as I said, you know, Wigan getting three of their last four away wins at Elland Road twice and then the Hawthorns is very, very surprising. But you know, it drags West Brom straight back into a sort of a three-horse race between, you know, West Brom, Leeds and Fulham. If we're looking at running, they've got to play Swansea at home. Sorry, they've got to play Swansea away. They've got Birmingham at home, away to Brentford, away to Sheffield Wednesday. Then got two home games with Hull and Derby. Then go away to Blackburn. Then Fulham travel to the Hawthorns at the end of April. Then they go away to Huddersfield and then at home to QPR. So if you're looking at those games, the tough ones, I wouldn't call Swansea away a tough game, but going away to Brentford midweek, you know, when we go to their place, it'll be a tough game. But then, yeah, so you'd argue there's two, possibly three fixtures. Wednesday away, you never know what's going to happen. You know, you can say it's a tough fixture and then Blackburn go in there like 4-0 or whatever it was. So I think they've got an easier running, obviously, than Fulham, but there are still some tough games in there. And I think, you know, there are games here where they're playing teams who need the points as well. I'm looking when they host Hull City. I know they looked terrible against Leeds on the weekend, but Hull City need the points. They're right in the thick of it. The likes of Huddersfield Town as well. Certainly, you know, Blackburn might not make a late playoff push. So although not be playing teams in the top six or seven, they're playing teams who are playing for something, and that's where they're going to probably, if they're going to lose points, they are going to lose them.
That's a really interesting one, Dom. Where do you sit on this question that when we look at run-ins, usually I think we're in agreement the teams you do want to play against are those who have literally nothing to play for, and you probably are looking at Derby, QPR, Birmingham with the sides with four or five games to go. They're not going to have anything to play with but play for, but there's not many of those sides. Do you think it's more dangerous playing against sides that have their status in the league at stake, or is it more dangerous playing against the sides that are in around you that are better than those at the bottom?
I think it depends what kind of team you are. I think if you're a team like Fulham, I think Fulham relish playing against, you know, the bigger teams, and I think our results are probably better against them And I think for West Brom, even you just have to look at the teams they've slipped up against this season. We just speak about Wigan on the weekend. They don't want to be playing teams who are fighting for their lives down the bottom. So, you know, they've got to play at home to hold. Their second last game is away to Huddersfield. Huddersfield might still be right back in the mix of things then. You know, they could have a poor run of results and they could be fighting for their lives. So these games are actually, you can argue they're tougher, especially for you, if you're top of the league, you know. You know, because the likes of Huddersfield, the likes of Hull will look at it and see it as a, it's not a free shot because it's coming towards the end of the season and they do need the points, but they can be a lot tougher than people expect.
So looking, we've talked about West Brom there. Looking at Leeds, as we mentioned, they're 5 points clear of Fulham. They've won four straight games. They seem to have got over their usual collapse. Looking at the games to come, these are their final 10. At home to Huddersfield, away at Cardiff, back-to-back home games against Fulham and then Luton, away at Blackburn, home to Stoke, away at Swansea, home to Barnsley, away at Derby, and then finish the season at home against Charlton. Looking at their run-in, are you thinking there aren't actually that many tough games? There are quite a lot of sides down there, but what are you looking at? Are you thinking that run-in is the sort of run-in that you would like?
I think if you're looking at it on paper, as it literally is, I think you'd argue they have the easiest run-in here. But I think what's going to be really interesting is they've got to play Barnsley and Charlton at home in two of their last three games of the season. And, you know, these teams are going to be fighting for their lives. These teams aren't going to want to give up. And these are exactly the kind of fixtures where Leeds mess up.
Yeah.
And I think that this is, and, you know, Barnsley, Yorkshire Derby, Barnsley are going to be fighting for their lives. Charlton, last game of the season at home at Elland Road, could be an absolute corker. You know, Charlton fighting for life to stay up. Leeds trying to hold on to second place. And, you know, Charlton get a last-minute winner through Lyle Taylor while Kevin McDonald scores a goal off his backside away at Wigan in the 93rd minute. But, yeah, I think on paper you'd argue it's the easiest running. But I think what I'm looking at is even if you look at the last five games, the Stoke, Barnsley and Charlton, yes, they're down the bottom, but these are going to be teams who are going to be fighting for their lives. And as we spoke about with West Brom, those games could actually be the tough against for Leeds, because these teams aren't going to come on to Leeds. These teams are just going to sit back and let Leeds attack them. I think looking at Leeds are probably the least clinical side in the division. They've had so many shots on target, but they haven't scored the goals to back that up. So it's easiest running on paper, as I've said multiple times, but actually I think it could actually be a lot tougher than people think.
So from your perspective, from the Fulham perspective, as we mentioned, 5 points behind Leeds, 6 points behind West Brom going into these final 10 games, are you looking and thinking there's not really that much pressure on Fulham because they've basically not been in those top two all season? West Brom and Leeds have been the sides in those top two positions pretty much from start till now. Going into these final 10 games, are Fulham in some ways psychologically in the best position of all three because they're not the ones being chased? Is it easier in this position? Fulham are used to being in this position of chasing promotion. Is it easier to be the chasers or the chased?
I think it's always to be the chaser. We've seen that in our two previous successful, well, not successful, but we got to the knockdown in the playoff semi-final and then won the playoff final. We were also chasing. Season we lost in 16-17 in the playoffs to Reading, Leeds were miles ahead of us and we caught them up, got into sixth and they finished in like 7th or 8th. I think Ryan Tannercliffe literally ended up rounding Rob Green on the last day of the season. And then obviously when we finished third, we nearly pipped second on that last day. If we just beaten Birmingham, we would have gone up automatically that year. And I think what's important for us is we've still got to play both these teams. All three of these teams have got, well, not Leeds aren't going to play West Brom, but we've got to go away to Leeds and we've got to go away to West Brom. And, you know, if we win both those games, we're going to swing it not completely into our favour, but we're going to swing the pressure straight onto Leeds and West Brom because they know they can't mess up. And I think that's what's going to be important. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, especially in this game away at Elland Road in 2 weeks' time, because I reckon a win for Leeds completely ends it for me because I can't see us coming back from that. That'll be 8 points behind Leeds United. Obviously, it'll require West Brom slipping up as well. So I think we need to win that game at Elland Road and we need to win the game at the Hawthorns. The rest, we can sort of see what happens. But I think those two away games in particular is vital because then we know we're cutting points on the teams above us instead of we're relying on, oh, if we beat Forest this week, they might lose to etc. the next. So I think these two away games are actually must wins in that sense because we just need to have guarantees of us cutting the deficit. You know, if we cut the deficit by 3 points, you know, we'd be 2 points behind Leeds, 3 points behind West Brom. So, yes, we're playing all the big teams, but in essence, it's going to be teams coming onto us, bar probably the likes of Nottingham Forest who like to sit back and hit teams on a counter attack. But yeah, I'm looking forward to these last 10 games because, you know, we're going to be playing quality games week in, week out against quality opposition and the games are going to be electric. The atmosphere is going to be great. And especially, you know, that local derby against Brentford next Friday night. it's very, very interesting. I don't think anyone can really call it.
So looking into these final 10 games, there are obviously tough games in there. You mentioned the one at West Brom, which was with just a few weeks of the season left, the third last game. Nottingham Forest is in there as well. But do you think, you mentioned the two games away at the top two, away at Leeds and away at West Brom. Do you think, honestly, in a couple of weeks' time, after these next three, away at Bristol City, home against Brentford, away at Leeds, surely after those three, even with seven games to go, which is still 21 points available, surely after that final of these next three, away at Elland Road, surely we are going to know whether Fulham are going to be top two. If they have a good time of it over these next couple of weeks, Fulham are going to be right in there pushing for top two. If these next couple of weeks go, probably the next seven after that are going to be irrelevant because Fulham are going to be out of the race.
Yeah, I think if we lose the Leeds, the race is done, unless West Brom have another semi-collapse towards the end of the season. As you said, these three games are crucial. We're playing all teams in the top six, top seven. Yeah, I think you'll have a real grasp going into that West London derby away to QPR on, I think, Saturday the 21st. We'll have a real idea of what sort of the situation is and whether we still have a chance, really. But yeah, as you said, these three games are so critical and there's no reason why we can't win all three.
You mentioned, I remember this, when we spoke, it was a number of months ago, and you said you'd rather Fulham play against the better sides than the weaker sides. I take a case like Barnsley, where they did the double over Fulham. They beat Fulham at Oakwell on the opening day of the season and then won 3-0 only a matter of weeks ago at Craven Cottage. So in some ways, even though Fulham's last 10 fixtures look probably significantly tougher than the other two, do you think actually Fulham, the way that they play, they will actually thrive in it? And there's kind of risk and reward with it, that obviously if Fulham lose these games, then they're out of the top two picture. But there's so much reward at stake if they get it right.
Yeah, I think these games in that sense do kind of play into our favour. I do feel like we play better against the bigger teams. You know, I think we beat Leeds at home, we drew to West Brom at home. Yes, we lost to Nottingham Forest, but I just feel like we're just suited to playing in these bigger games. As you say, the odd home losses to, we lost 3-0 at home to Hull City. We only just about beat them 1-0 away from home. We conceded four goals to, obviously, Barnsley this season. You know, Luton scored two at Craven Cottage. I know we won the game. We got 3-3 draw at Luton. So I do feel like these bigger teams, we just get up for the occasion more. And I think that's what's the most important thing. I think the team possibly find it hard to get up against the lower teams, where when you're playing the likes of Bristol City, Brentford, you know, Leeds, QPR, Forest, West Brom, Sheffield Wednesday, like, these are the games I think Fulham are going to get right up for.
So, Fulham fans, what do you think about these last 10 fixtures, in particular over these next three? Can Fulham push for a top two spot? They're still in the hunt. Top six looks absolutely guaranteed for Fulham, but can they put pressure on those top two? Fulham fans, call us on 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number or get us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. Share your views. Can Fulham push for a top two spot, or are they going to have to settle for a top six spot?
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Welcome back to the Fulham Fan Show. Myself, Kieran Critchard, joined in the studio by Don Betts from the Fulhamish podcast. Fulham fans, if you want to get any questions in or give your views on where Fulham are at, pretty happy after a couple of recent wins against Preston and Swansea, looking ahead to what looks like a crucial period in Fulham's season. They look good for top six, but can they get an automatic promotion spot? Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We're looking ahead to some of the upcoming fixtures, Dom, and we mentioned it just there as to some of the games. We've got Bristol City coming up next. What are you thinking ahead of Bristol City away from home? They've had a bit of a funny season. They've literally hovered in sixth and seventh pretty much from day dot. What are you thinking ahead of this one?
Fulham Bristol City is always interesting because it seems like whoever's the away team in the tie always seems to be the better player. Or better team, sorry. Like, I think we often lose Bristol City at home. I think there was a time we lost them twice in the space of a week because we got them in the League Cup as well. I remember in 15-16, sorry. Obviously, they got promoted in 14-15. In 15-16, I remember, you know, a 4-1 victory over Bristol City at Ashton Gate. I think we were in a 3 or 4-0 up at half-time. I think, you know, two crackers from Ross McCormack. I think even, you know, Ryan Tunnicliffe chipping the Bristol City goalkeeper. Yeah, it's always, and I think we won there the season in 16-17, and then we drew in 17-18. I think Mitrovic actually got his first goal for the club from a Cyrus Christie cross. So, yeah, Fulham Bristol City is always an interesting game because, you know, both teams like to play football, and, you know, it's really weird. Often the away team is often the team that gets a result in this fixture.
Looking at Bristol City's form, three losses and a draw in the last four, you look at it and thinking this is a perfect time for Fulham to be playing them.
Well, it's Bristol City, so you never know when it's a good or a bad time to play them because they're so streaky. But yeah, I think, you know, in the run of form they are, you know, not being able to even beat Luton, I think that's a good chance for us to play them. You know, us on two back-to-back wins, we'll, you know, I'm beating in three, especially with that draw away at Derby on the Friday night. So yeah, I'm confident going into this game.
So we can now get the opposition view. Fulham are away at Bristol City this weekend on Saturday afternoon. I'm delighted to say we're joined. We've got a bit of a jingle. It's time for this.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Ooh, we love a jingle. We love an opposition view jingle. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Gregor McGregor from Bristol Live. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Gregor, giving us the opposition view. First and foremost, what has Bristol City's recent dip in form been down to, in your opinion?
Has to do with the January signings they've made, actually. They've brought in three new players. I mean, Naki Wells is a good signing. But the other two guys haven't played a lot of football this season. Henriksen was frozen out up at Hull. And then Benriksen hadn't played too much at Leicester City either. So I think these guys are slowly being integrated in at Bristol City. But there's a little bit of cohesion missing from the side at the moment. And also the loss of Josh Brownhill has been a big loss for Bristol City. And they haven't really worked out an effective system of play just yet with the new guys. So basically, yeah, I think that's reflected in the results recently.
When it comes to Bristol City, obviously they've been in and around the playoffs for a few seasons now. And is there something different about it this season? Do you think this year is the year they can get into the top six?
Yeah, I do think they've got a shot. I think if they can work out that system, then they've added some real quality last month. I mean, they've got a couple of guys who can really score up front now and strength in depth as well. An important player they've actually had this season, but he only played right at the beginning of the year, was Benik Afobe. And he's been out injured for a long time, but he's just coming back as well. So they haven't really now got four decent strikers in the squad. And because of that, yeah, I think that's probably the difference on the last couple of years. I know January 2019, the club were looking to bring in a quality striker. They couldn't do that. They couldn't get anything over the line. This year, it's been a bit different. They've managed to bring in Wells. And yeah, we're hopeful that Lee Johnson can get it together, work out a new system to get the best from them, and hopefully maybe get a win this weekend to kickstart something.
When it comes to, obviously, Bristol, everyone talks about the streaky nature of the time, but the interesting thing about, I always say about this tie, is it always seems to favour the away side. Whenever Bristol City seem to come to Craven Cottage, they always seem to not completely dominate us, but, you know, they always seem to get the victory or get a positive result. And when Fulham head to Ashton Gate, a similar sort of fashion. I think we've had two wins and one draw in our three visits there. Do you think there's anything to do with the way the teams play that it just seems to always suit the away side?
Yeah, definitely. I hear you and I agree. I think there is a lot to that. I wonder if that's a wider thing in the Championship, actually, because sometimes some Championship games, I do wonder if maybe that lack of quality at times means that it's difficult to break teams down, especially if they sit in and if they're compact and make it difficult to get behind you. So, yeah, I think if Fulham defend well at the weekend, and I think they may well do, and my worry from a Bristol City point of view is that Fulham have now brought in Hector, and I think he played well last week for you guys, so yeah, that would be my worry, and I think the Cottages might be a slightly different proposition to when Bristol City won earlier this season at Craven Cottage.
An interesting sort of point will be that obviously the return of, you know, Joe Bryan and Bobby Reid to Ashton Gate. What do you think their reception will be like?
Oh, they'll get a good reception without doubt. I mean, Joe's obviously injured and I don't think he's going to play. But yeah, I would expect him to maybe be around at Ashton Gate still. Bobby Reid, yeah, he was given a tremendous send-off by the academy, by the club, because he'd come through the academy when he joined Cardiff, actually. And the club really went to town on it. They produced a couple of videos with him, including one with him sat in his living room saying goodbye to the club. And he's really seen as a darling of the clubs who have come through the academy ranks here. So, yeah, both guys well remembered by all Bristol City fans, and they can look forward to a warm reception this weekend without doubt.
We mentioned just before you came on with us, Gregor, that Bristol City seemingly all season long have hovered either in sixth place or in seventh place, maybe fifth at times, pretty much all season long. Do you think that's because going higher and pushing for top two is realistically beyond Bristol City? Not that, therefore, through the playoffs they can't get promoted, but do you think that's why they haven't been able to push on from pretty much being in sixth or seventh all season long? Or do you think there are other factors? You mentioned injuries there. That's restricted them from making a real push for automatic promotion.
Yeah, I don't think they've quite got the quality to really push on and match the likes of West Brom, Leeds and maybe Fulham as well. We've seen in the last couple of games, we've had West Brom and Leeds back-to-back, and to be honest, Bristol City were outclassed in both games. Neither of them, they looked like getting even a draw, let alone a win, and in fact, they were two pretty wretched performances. And yeah, so I think that kind of illustrates that they're just not quite good enough for an automatic place this year or to contend for one. But I think they are good enough to contend for the top six. They've had a bit of consistency this season, but just they haven't got a very good record against the top six sides. In fact, I think Fulham is one of the few times they've won on the road. I think, in fact, that is their only win on the road at a top six side this season. So, yeah, they've got a bit of making up to do there. But, yeah, we certainly look at this as a game where they could get a result. And if they can, then, yeah, who knows where the season will end.
Obviously, last time we played at Ashton Gate was a 1-1 draw about two years ago. Pretty much nearly to the day, probably, pretty much. But, obviously, that was Mitrovic's first goal for the club. That day, since when he joined on loan from Newcastle for the remainder of 17-18. What do you think? Do you think Bristol City are going to have to adapt their defence to suit the prowess of Alexander Mitrovic?
I'm not too sure they will, actually. I thought they did a pretty good job against him at Craven Cottage. And the guys playing that day were Ashley Williams and Nathan Baker. And Baker has been in pretty good form for most of this season. Williams has just dropped out of the side, but they have got Thomas Callas, who obviously you guys will know pretty well. And he's actually the club record signing this way. Had a very good season last year alongside Adam Webster. As I say, they've brought in Filip Benković, and he's a Croatia international. He's come from Leicester City. So they've got strength and depth in that position. And yeah, actually, that's one thing I think they will be able to contest. Not saying that Mitrovic won't score, because he's a quality player and he might get a couple of chances. But I think they can handle him. I'm a bit more worried about your wide attackers, if I'm honest.
And just finally then, Gregor, a prediction for the game on the weekend. Bristol City home advantage, is that going to be enough? Or do you see the Costas coming along and getting all 3 points?
I'm very worried about Fulham, actually. I think you will really, really test them. I'm going to go for a Bristol City home win, narrow win. But that's partly because it's also Bristol City's 125-year anniversary game. So it's going to be a full house there. It's on TV. They've got a special strip and a few other things, special celebrations planned. So we're hopeful that maybe there's a better atmosphere and maybe that could turn it.
Thank you very much for your time this evening, Gregor. That was Gregor McGregor from Bristol Live, giving us the opposition view there from Bristol City ahead of that home game on Saturday against Fulham. Dom, going into this one then, Bristol City, we mentioned the poor form there. But are you looking at this and thinking this is a dangerous game, that Fulham might have got a couple of wins, kept two clean sheets, but this is going to be a different test because both Swansea and Preston are at home? This is a road trip to a tough place to go in Ashton Gate.
Yeah, it is a tough place to go. As I said, our record there is sort of one positive going into it. If we could have a repeat of that 4-1 victory, it would be great. But I think I'm quite confident going into this game, just because of the run of form we're on, the run of form they're on. It's on TV. We're actually seen to play better on TV than if we play Saturday 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a very, very good game. You know, both teams are going to want to attack each other, but I think both teams are fairly solid defensively, especially Fulham with the addition of Michael Hector. You know, to start the season, people were calling, you know, Lee Johnson, the Bristolian, Jose Mourinho, with I think it was 3-1-0 wins on the bounce. So I think it won't be as sort of high scoring as people might expect with, you know, two attacking sides. I think it will be decided by the one goal. I can't see a team winning by more than one. So, no, it's going to be a very tough affair. But, you know, as we said, we got Mitrovic, and when you've got him, you always got a chance of scoring. I think we've looked a lot more assured at the back recently. I think, you know, if you take the last three games, the only goal we've conceded is a penalty by Wayne Rooney, which was a a contentious handball by Tim Ream, I guess you can argue for that one. So we're very, very solid at the back. You know, Joe Brown, I don't expect him to play, obviously his hamstring injury. But, you know, if you got the back five of Marek Rodak, and then I would have Christie on the right-hand side of him, back two of Ream, Hector, and then Dennis Odoi on the left-hand side. So I think, you know, it's not a case of... I think it will be a case of game management in this game. I think it's about controlling the game. I don't think it's about going out from the off. We've often said, oh, we don't attack teams out from the off enough. But I don't think that's the best way to manage this game. I do think it's about controlling the game early on, sort of shutting them out chances-wise. But then it's being clinical of our chances, which we have done this season, to be fair. Most likely times when we do create a key chance, we most likely do put it away, especially with Mitrovic up top. I would like to actually see Kamara start in this game, just because I think, you know, Knockaert for me, he's been a flop this season. I don't think there's really too many ways you can say that. You know, Caviero's not been great either. He's shown glimpses, but he's not been great overall. You know, as I said, Abubakar Kamara's got, what, four goals and four assists this season. For someone who's had a bit part to play, some very good statistics there. Also, he got the assist for Mitrovic's winner against Swansea. He got technically the second sort of game that goal that sealed the game against Preston. So yeah, I'll give him a shot on the right wide position. I think he did play well there. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this game, and I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
So Gregor said it would be a narrow home victory for Bristol City on a pretty special occasion for them on Saturday. How do you see the game panning out?
I see it as a narrow victory just going the other way. I think a 1-0 Fulham win. I think another clean sheet will come, but we'll only be by one goal.
Another clean sheet. Oh my goodness. Fulham fans will be getting nosebleeds at three consecutive clean sheets, considering they're not particularly great defensively, but that would be a big boost to Fulham's promotion aim. Fulham fans out there, get in touch with us. Call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that number. Share your views ahead of a big game and a big few games coming up. Away at Bristol City, home to Brentford, and then away to Leeds. It feels like a crunch few weeks for Fulham.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
Welcome back to the Fulham Fan Show. Myself, Kieran Critchard, joined by Don Betts from the Fulhamish podcast up until 10 o'clock. So just a quarter of an hour left for you Fulham fans to get in touch. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in touch with us. It's time to hear from the listeners. Obviously, you are, as well as people like Dom in the studio, you are the ones that make these types of shows. So obviously, make sure you get in touch with us. Let's start with some of these listener questions then. Starting off with TMinia366. What an intriguing name. 10 left and 5 behind Leeds. How many points do you think we need for top 2? 24?
I don't necessarily... When it comes to these situations, like how many points do you need? You can't really say, like, because you don't really know how many points your opposition are going to get. I guess it's just like, well, we need to get six points more than the other two, I guess is the basis of the point here. But for me, it doesn't matter how many points we get in as such. It's that we beat Leeds and we beat West Brom at their own gaffes. I think that's the most important thing. I think from there, then you can sort of balance it and we can win here, we can lose there, draw here, etc. I think the most important thing in this running is, you know, winning at Leeds and winning at West Brom. But if I said, how many points do you think we should be getting across? I guess 24 would be a good amount to get. But for me, again, it is sort of, you got to balance it. It's all about just getting 6 points more than the other two.
Thank you for your question, TMinia366. On to a more familiar, more normal name of Dan Williams. He asks you, what is your opinion on the Irish Cafu?
Well, the Irish Cafu in Cyrus Christie, I thought, you know, his man-of-match performance on the weekend, I have always been very critical of Cyrus Christie because I don't think he's that competent. But I feel like this season he's proved me wrong to an extent, more such as the fact that sort of Joe Bryan has sort of outweighed him in how bad you can be defensively as a fullback. But no, again, a great performance for him on the weekend. I think, you know, he should be our starting right back, because I'd have Odoi as our starting left back. I think that should be what it is going forward. But yeah, no, I think I've been very impressive, especially in the last few months.
I remember when Cafu sung the praises of John Flanagan after one good season at Liverpool, and his career kind of went downhill from there. So maybe being compared to Cafu isn't necessarily the best thing in the world. On to Carl Kent, 16, like the alliteration. Will our goal difference let us down for automatic promotion?
I think it's definitely putting us a point behind in that sense, because it's just not as good. But what's good is the fact that Brentford have dropped off, because they had such a good goal difference, you know, if you're looking a month, 6 weeks ago. But no, I don't think it will. I feel like we're good enough to get enough points to be that point ahead and not rely on goal difference to be the thing that pushes into top two. Yes, it's, you know, it's a negative that the rest of the teams have got better goal differences than ours, but I back us to get enough points to actually just finish above them, you know, points-wise.
On to Thomas Ryland Jenkins. He says, who is our player of the season so far? I'm assuming there's an obvious answer, so I think I can probably guess. If it is the obvious answer, is there someone maybe under the radar that could be up there?
Yes, obviously everyone will point to Mitrovic because I think he's the best player in the league. He's the league's top goal scorer. I think he's got, 23, 24 goals this season. I'm going to say Marek Rodak, probably. I think ever since he's come in from Marcus Bettinelli, he's been outstanding, bar that Barnsley 3-0 loss at home. So, yeah, I'd probably say Marek Rodak. I mean, notable shouts. I think you've got... Interesting one for me, he won't be in the conversation because he's been injured a lot, but it's Harrison Reed. Whenever Harrison Reed has played, I think we've looked like a better side. And then I'm looking at the rest. Michael Hector, since he's come in, has made a big impact, but obviously he's only been playing for, 2 months or so. So if I'm going to choose anyone for player of the season beyond Alexander Mitrovic, I think you've got to go with Marek Rodak, because ever since he's come in for Bettinelli Bar, as I said, that Barnsley home game, he's been phenomenal.
I don't think, though, when the awards come in, I don't think Mitrovic, they're going to go, you're the obvious choice, so we're not going to give it to you.
The funniest thing, this is probably easy decision. The harder decision to make when it comes to it off the season was probably most disappointing player of the season. I think there's quite a few you could choose.
Who would you go for on that one?
Well, I think you could put, obviously, Anthony Knockaert in there. I think you could argue to put Tom Kearney in there. I don't think he's been up to his best this season. I think he has been disappointing to the standards we know he can reach in the Championship. I wouldn't really put Stefan Johansson into that because I don't think he's played enough. I think you could even argue the likes of Ivan Caviero. Yes, he's been good. He's got, I think, 7 goals and 6 assists, but he hasn't lived up to what we thought he would do, if that makes sense, or what we know he can do in that sense. Same with Tom Kearney. I don't think they've been bad. I just think they've been disappointing in regard to what we know they can do.
It's as if, Dom, you think ahead to what's going to happen and preempt questions. Because earlier you were talking about team selection and you mentioned Anthony Knockaert not playing and Abubakar Kamara starting. You then mentioned about flop of the season, Anthony Knockaert, and as if by magic, the next question from Forever Fulham, should Abubakar Kamara start against Bristol City over Anthony Knockaert, or is he maybe a super sub?
Well, I think everyone talks about, you know, the impact that Abubakar Kamara can make for the bench, but I know the last time he started, or one of the last times he started, was that Millwall away game where everyone was, he was absolutely terrible. I was like, yeah, but the entire team was after Mitrovic scored. We played well for 2 minutes and then terrible for the other 88. I probably would start him just because it's an away game. I think we can hit them on the counter-attack. And I think Abubakar Kamara's got a lot to offer. Yes, he's a bit raw, I guess you can say, to be nice to him, but what has Knockaert got? I don't think he offers anything. And you talk about impact sub. Ever since Niskin's Cabano sort of come back into consideration and he's come off the bench, I've been impressed every single time he's come on. He's direct. He wants to drive at teams. So I don't think you're losing that impact sub. I think you still got that in Niskin's Cabano on the bench. So yeah, I would start him. But yeah, as much as he is a good impact sub, you still got Niskin's Cabano off the bench.
The next question is from Fred Elkin. It's about one of the young players at Fulham, young Matt O'Reilly, who's an England under-16 and England under-18 international. Fred asks, how long until we'll see Matt O'Reilly start on a regular basis?
Obviously, he's had a bit part to play this season. I thought he might play a few more games due to the midfield injuries we've had, but I think we're in such an important part of the season now that it's... Yeah, as much as you want to see your youngsters play, and I know Lampard's done it at Chelsea this season, but I feel like we need to be playing our best 11 week in, week out, and Matt O'Reilly doesn't fit into that category. Whether he's part of the Premier League plans next season or the Championship plans next season, who knows? But I do see next season him playing more parts to play if we weren't to go up, let's say, because we've got a lot of midfielders who are ageing, we've got midfielders who'd probably move on, who are on big wages. So I don't think this season, but I think next season could really be Matt O'Reilly's big year.
And just a final one from Ellis King. Obviously, thank you for all of these questions. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 70 25 58. Ellis asks, what do we need to do to score more goals?
I put the ball in the back of it. I think.
Oh, my goodness. Breaking news. Scoring more goals, it requires hitting it into the net. No, the right one.
No, I think what it is we don't actually create too many chances. If you watch Fulham, like it's not like Leeds where we have like 12 shots on target and score two. You know, we most likely we'll have three shots on target and score two or one. So I think it's being more creative in midfield. I think it's being less passive with the ball. I think we sometimes allow teams to get into position to stop us creating chances. We're not direct enough. And that is, when people say direct, it's not about being long ball when it comes to being direct. It's just about getting the ball through the thirds a lot quicker. And I think that's what we don't do enough. We are too passive. We are too sideways at the ball. Sometimes we're too scared to play that extra ball. So instead of playing it to the first midfielder, you want to play it to the second midfielder, or you want to play it instead of to the midfielder, you want to play a long ball out wide for the winger to run onto in behind. So I think that is where we would start scoring more goals, if we just simply start creating more chances and playing not a bit more direct, but maybe with a bit more energy to the side.
Do you think there is far too much of an over-reliance? There's obviously going to be a reliance upon someone in the form of Mitrovic that is one of the best players in the Championship. Obviously, it'd be ridiculous to claim otherwise, and it's not fair criticism to aim that at Fulham. But is there too much that if Mitrovic doesn't score or he doesn't have a good game, then Fulham struggle to win games without him? Or is that too far to suggest that reliance is too much of an over-reliance?
I wouldn't say we're over-reliant on him. We are reliant on him. Any team would be reliant on a goal scorer who's got 23, 24 goals at the beginning of March. So I think, you know, we got what? Caballero's got 7, Tom Kearney's got 7, Abuka Kamara's got 4, Knockout's probably got 3 or 4. I don't think we're reliant on him. Bobby Reid's got a few as well. I don't think we're reliant on him. I just think the way we're set up is to feed the ball into him, and therefore it seems we're reliant on him. I think we're reliant on him in not just for goals, but in the such as the way we play relies on him to hold the ball up to play in our other players. So I think we're reliant on him as a player, but I don't think we're heavily reliant on him with goals, because every time Mitrovic hasn't played, we haven't been outclassed. I think we've won most of the games anyway. So I don't think we're reliant on him for goals as such. I think as a player as such and in the team and what he is as a leader on the pitch, I think that's where we're not over-reliant. We are just reliant on him in that case.
So just fine. Then we're obviously coming towards the end of an hour. It flies by these hours. Looking at the run ahead, we've talked about this running over the final 10 games. Up next, Bristol City, then Brentford, then Leeds. We mentioned it's 5 points to Leeds, who are second, 6 points to West Brom, who are top. Realistically, considering the run-ins and you look at the fixtures that all three sides have got, Fulham look very good for a top six. I can't imagine they're going to fall out of that. Do you think realistically, Dom, that Fulham can get that top two, or do you think it's going to be beyond them, barring a kind of spectacular collapse from one of the top two?
I don't think it requires a collapse. I think, as I said, if we beat Leeds away from home, we're 2 points behind them. We beat West Brom away, we'd be 3 points behind them. So I don't think it requires a collapse. I think, as we've been saying all hour, it's just all about these two away games away at the big two. And yeah, I don't think it's completely out of the question at all. I think, you know, Leeds have had their slip and recovered, but, you know, it's Leeds United. They can easily just have another slip again.
They could do so. Many thanks to Dom from the Fulhamish podcast over the last hour. It's a big few games, a big 10 games coming up for Fulham. They're away at Bristol City on the weekend. Games against Brentford and Leeds to come. They've got the top two both away from home over the next few months. Some big games coming up for Fulham. Can they get into the top two? As I said, many thanks to Dom from the Fulhamish podcast. Obviously, the guys from Fulhamish will be back at the same time next week, next Wednesday, 9 till 10 p.m. Fulham fans, make sure you tune in again next Wednesday.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.